Hare Krishna. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning.
Ready to chant a little more?
Yeah.
Hear Bhagavatam class? Get some prasadam? Hare Krishna.
Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Janavallava Girivada Dari Jaya Gopi Janavallava Girivada Dari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janananjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janananjana Jamuna Kira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Gurudev, 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 Jaya Jaya Gurudev, Gurudev. Nitya Gaura Premanandi. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 28, Text Number 5.
Chaya pratihavabhasya. Chaya pratihavabhasya. Hi asantopi artha karinaha. Hi asantopi artha karinaha. Evyam dehadayo bhava. Evyam dehadayo bhava. Ya chanti amrit yuto bayam. Ya chanti amrit yuto bayam. Chaya prati habavas habai yabasa. Chaya pratya habayabasya. Hi asantopi artha karana. Evam dehadayo bhava. Yachanti amrit yuto bayam. Chaya pratyabhasya. Hi asantopi artha karina. Evam dehadayo bhava. Yachanti amit yuto bhayam. Chaya purvabhya basya. Iya santopi artha karana. Evam dehadayo bhava. Ya chanti amrit yuto bhayam. Word for word, chaya, shadows. Pratihavaya, echoes. Abhasya, and false appearances. He, indeed. Asantaha, non-existent. Api, although. Artha, ideas. Karana, creating. Evam, in the same way. Dehe adaya, the body, and so on. Bhava, material conceptions. I think it's supposed to be bhavaha. Material conceptions. Yachanti, they gave. Amrityuta, up to the point of death. Bhayam, fear. Translation and purport by the followers of the Divine Grace, Śrīla A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Śrīla Prabhupāda ki. Jai Śrīla Prabhupāda. Translation. Although shadows, echoes, and mirages are only illusory reflections of real things, such reflections do cause a semblance of meaningful or comprehensible perception. In the same way, although the identification of the conditioned soul with the material body, mind, and ego is illusory, This identification generates fear within him, even up to the moment of death. Please repeat. Although shadows, echoes, and mirages are only illusory reflections of real things, such reflections do cause a semblance of meaningful or comprehensible perception. In the same way, although the identification of the conditioned soul with the material body, mind, and ego is illusory, this identification generates fear within him, even up to the moment of death. Translation again, although shadows, echoes, and mirages are only illusory reflections of real things, such reflections do cause a semblance of meaningful or comprehensible perception. In the same way, although the identification of the conditioned soul with the material body, mind, and ego is illusory, this identification generates fear within him, even up to the moment of death. Purport. Although shadows, echoes, and mirages are mere reflections of real substances, they create strong emotions. Excuse me. They create strong emotions in persons falsely accepting them as real. In the same manner, a conditioned soul is seized by such emotions as fear, lust, anger, and hope because of his illusory perception of himself as the material body, mind, and false ego. By practical example, it is thus shown that even illusory objects may cause highly emotional reactions. Ultimately, our emotions should be absorbed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is eternal truth. Fear is forever vanquished when one takes shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. One can then enjoy the pure emotions of liberated life. Om Agena Chimanandasya Jananjanan Salakaya Chakshu Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Shapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Karamayam Dadanti Svapadantikam. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master is opening my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto the dust of his lotus feet. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimati Tamo Krishna Goswami Nitinamani. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamani. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Sunyavari Pashkatiri Shatarini Vanchakalpa Truvaischa Kripasunivasevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Saturday morning, Srimad Bhagavatam class, thank you for being here. Thanks for listening in. We're reading from the 11th canto, chapter 28, text number 5. This chapter is called Gyan Yoga, Gyan Yoga. What does Gyan mean, Sam? Do you know what Gyan means? Jnana. It means knowledge, right? Gyan yoga. And it's distinguished from, like, say, bhakti yoga or karma yoga. Gyan yoga can be part of bhakti, but, like, there's gyan yoga and karma yoga, right? So this is the Krishna speaking to who? Do you know who Krishna's talking to, Sam? Well, that's a pretty good guess. But no, he's talking to his friend Uddhava. Uddhava. Yeah, Uddhava is his close friend in Dwarka. And so he's speaking to Uddhava. And so this is really nice. This is sometimes known as the Uddhava Gita because Uddhava asks Krishna questions. And so let's read the first paragraph of the synopsis of the 28th chapter, Gyan Yoga. This chapter briefly summarizes the process of Gyan Yoga, which previous chapters described in detail. Every created thing in this universe is a material product of the three modes of nature, is subject to sensory perception, and is essentially unreal. Actually, the designations of good and bad that we assign to the various objects and activities of this world are all superficial. It is better to avoid condemning or praising anything in this world, because doing so simply entangles one in matter and deprives one of the higher goals of spiritual life. Hidden within every object of the material universe is the spirit soul who underlies both the causes and products of manifest existence. One should see things in this light and thus move about in the material world in a mood of detachment. So what is this knowledge yoga, this yoga of knowledge, Gyan Yoga? What is the essential knowledge Krishna's trying to tell us about here? Is he telling us about how to have a good time, how to enjoy your body to its fullest extent? No. He's telling us don't be attached to the objects of your senses. And this is divine, divine knowledge, divine gyan. Because Krishna's telling us, you know, the real knowledge, the knowledge that you want to possess, the knowledge that you want to acquire, is knowledge of the spiritual world, knowledge of yourself as a spirit soul and not just your body. What do you think you are, Sam? Are you just your body? Right. And what's going to happen to you when you leave this body, when you leave your body now? Yeah, if you think of Krishna, when you leave your body, what happens to your soul? Right, it goes back to the spiritual universe. It goes back to the spiritual world and takes up its position of loving interaction with Krishna and Krishna's associates and Krishna's dear ones. And we become dear to Krishna by becoming dear to his dearmost devotees. Because Krishna, who owns Krishna, Sam? Yes, that's true. Krishna is not owned by anybody. But at the same time, he is owned by certain persons. And this is confidential knowledge. Do you know who really controls Krishna with her love? Radharani, right. Very good, Sam. Srimati Radharani loves Krishna so purely and so perfectly that Krishna becomes completely under her control, under her spell, if you will. And it's actually not really a spell. It's a loving reciprocation that is the basis of our own relationship with Krishna. Our relationship with the Lord is loving too. But right now, we're stuck in a temporary material body. So Krishna has spoken Bhagavad Gita. He has given us Srimad Bhagavatam, which contains statements that Krishna himself made. Can you imagine? I think we take that for granted sometimes. I know I do. I can pick up a book anytime I want and read the actual words that God himself said. If you tell people that on the street, they'll think, no, come on, no way. There's no books that say what God said. You know, everything is what stories about God or what people say about God. But there's no times. Okay, maybe there's that time in the Bible where, you know, God spoke to Moses. You know, okay, I can believe that. But, you know, God speaking, I don't believe this. Why do we believe that, Sam? Why do we believe Krishna is God and that you can read his words? Right, because we've heard his pastimes. He never grows old. He was on the planet for like 120 years, but he never looked more than about 16 or 17, right? That's one of the ways that we know Krishna is God, because of his pastimes and because of his uncommonly incredible associates. We were talking about Srimati Radharani. How incredible her love is for Krishna. And so when we hear about that love and we hear about how we are parts and parcels of Krishna, that everything is Krishna because he created it, but yet he's separate from it. This achintya bheda bheda tattva, simultaneous oneness and separateness. Krishna is that. And so it's hard to understand, but we need to try to understand so that we can become convinced ourselves that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then we can tell others about it, right? Because if we tell others about it, then that's how we become more Krishna conscious. Because the more you hear and chant and think about Krishna now, the easier it's going to be to remember Krishna at the moment of death. And the more that you tried sincerely to give Krishna to others, the more you get Krishna right now in this very lifetime. You can understand Krishna up to an incredible degree, uttama, topmost level of understanding, which Srila Prabhupada had, and which he wanted us to attain as well. Maybe we won't ever get to as high a level as Srila Prabhupada had, but we're meant to try. We're meant not to try to artificially say that we're advanced, but to actually be advanced by our practice, our sadhana, right? Chanting Hare Krishna 16 rounds every day, following the regulative principles of freedom. Regulative principles of freedom. Because they will free us from the desires for the things that we're not supposed to do. The regulative principles are prohibitive. No meat, fish, or eggs. No gambling. No intoxication. No intercourse outside marriage. So these prohibitions are actually meant to free us from the things that we're being prohibited from doing. Well, how can you do that? I mean, isn't it easier just, I have so much desire for things. Isn't it easier just give in and go and try to enjoy something and just, I'm going to get it out of my system, right? I'm going to go enjoy myself. And this time, once I'm done enjoying, I promise that's it. Okay, Lord, no more movies after this. I promise. This is the last newspaper I'll ever read. It's not such a big deal reading a newspaper, going to a movie. Let's talk about something worse. This is, you know, some sinful activity, something sinful we're just dying to do. Okay, Lord, last time. But we know that it's not going to be the last time. Because the more we engage in the enjoyment of the material world, the more we want to continue engaging in it. Because you can't be satisfied. You won't be satisfied by engaging in the material sense enjoyment that you're trying to have. It's not going to satisfy you. And we all know this is true. So many millions of times we've made plans, we've done this, we've done that. And even in the midst of enjoying something, we're like, what is this? I spent all this time and effort and difficulty, and now I have this thing that I'm trying to enjoy, and I don't want it. It's not what I really wanted. And it's so short-lived that you go, wow, it's already over. Do you ever do that when you're looking forward to seeing a friend or go to a family reunion or go to some event or some parties, you know, some friends or something, and you think, oh, look forward to it. I'm going to go meet. And then you go, and it has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And that end, even if you're really enjoying it, oh, this is so great. I'm at a party or that. Oh, this is wonderful. It will end so quickly. It doesn't go on forever. It is so short-lived that you're going, what is it? It's practically empty. It's practically empty because it's so short. And even when you plan and you prepare and you go see someone you really want to see, oh, this is so great, you get tired of them, right? After a few minutes, you know, it gets old, you know? I go spend time with my family or I spend time with old friends. There's nothing there. There's no more, you know, juice in that. Because I know better. I want to talk about Krishna. I want to talk about maybe current events, which they'll talk about too. But I want to talk about how Krishna's involved in current events. But no, but they don't want to talk about that. The people outside, non-devotees, they don't want to try to understand how Krishna's involved in their life right now. They don't want to see things in nature and be reminded of God or reminded of Krishna. They said, no, that's for me to do 1 hour a week in church. Yeah, you can talk to them about religion, but then pretty soon, you know, they have their beliefs and you have your beliefs. And it's not easy. It's not easy to talk to outsiders about Krishna. And we're really not supposed to, unless they're ready, right? Unless they really want to hear about Krishna. We're not supposed to just, you know, it's okay if they hear the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's nice if they can hear that. But we don't have to tell them, you know, Radharani is the dearmost servant of Krishna. Go into these details. Until someone is sincere and ready and they come to the temple and they start to chant and they come for a while and we can see, oh, now you're ready to understand more esoteric subjects, more deeply understood things about Krishna. You know, to people on the outside, we just want to get them a book. Hand them a book. Get them started. Give them some prasadam. Isn't this tasty? Yeah, you can. This is a big thing. You can eat vegetarian food that's just as satisfying as all these horrible meat dishes that they have out there, right? And in fact, there's more variety in the vegetarian world, isn't there? When you go to India and you go to different parts of India, how many states are in India? My God, there must be like 20 or 30 states, right? And they all speak different languages. They're only a few miles apart, but there's Telugu, there's Tamil, there's Hindi, there's Bengali. You go up to the Himalayas, they speak Nepal, they're Nepalese, they speak another language. You go to China, there's different dialects in China. There's two main dialects in China. Mandarin and Cantonese, right? Well, I guess Mandarin is the primary one, but many people speak Cantonese. Some people, and it's unbelievable how much variety there is. And when we're thinking about this Krishna variety, so many different kinds of people. I lost my track here. Sorry about that. So let's go back to the Bhagavatam. I'm sorry. Srimad Bhagavatam. Although shadows, echoes, and mirages are only illusory reflections of real things, such reflections do cause a semblance of meaningful or comprehensible perception. In the same way, although the identification of the conditioned soul with the material body, mind, and ego is illusory, this identification generates fear within him, even up to the moment of death. And so this is referring to Krishna speaking in the Gita. What's the greatest fear? The greatest fear is death, right? The fear that there's nothing after this. And so knowledge of Krishna, gyan, yoga, divine knowledge of Krishna, is meant to tell us who we are in relationship to Krishna. And if we know that, if we really believe it, if we believe that Krishna is God, and we believe what Krishna says, and what Srila Prabhupada says, then we can understand, oh yeah, I'm a spirit soul. I don't need to be afraid of the material world. We can become fearless. Excuse me. This was Srila Prabhupada. I had to fly an airplane yesterday, in a jet airplane, a commercial airline. And I was thinking, you know, what if something happens? Well, something happens, you know. Every time I get on a plane, I think about it, you know. I still have fear. Why? Because I don't have full faith. I don't have complete faith in that I'm a spirit soul. And that I'm going to go on after this. Srila Prabhupada would be in an airplane. And one time he was on an airplane and the devotees were sitting behind him. And the plane lost altitude and dropped 1,000, 2,000 feet, you know, merged, just dropped. And everybody screamed and everything flew around and, you know, then it leveled out. But, you know, while it was going down, people think, we're going to die. What's happening? This is it. And Srila Prabhupada, they ran up to Srila Prabhupada after they could go see him when the plane leveled out. And they said, Prabhupada, are you okay? And Prabhupada was just there chanting calmly. And he turned, he looked at him, he said, we can leave at any moment. We can leave at any moment. And Prabhupada wasn't scared at all. He knew if Krishna wants him to go now, he's going now. And when it's his time to go, that means Krishna's calling him. And he's going to go. He's not going to try to fight it. You know, Parikshit Maharaj, he didn't try to fight it. He got cursed by Sringi, right? What was the curse that Sringi put on Parikshit Maharaj, Sam? Do you remember Parikshit Maharaj from the Srimad Bhagavatam? He got cursed by a little Brahmin boy. What was the curse? That he would die. He had to die in a few days. No, he was just a misguided little boy. He was part of the pastimes of Krishna in the Bhagavatam. And he was there for a purpose. So Krishna inspired him in this way, in super soul, in his heart, to be upset that his father had been embarrassed, had been treated badly by the emperor of the whole world, Parikshit Maharaj. And he put a dead snake on his father's head, on his body, while his father was meditating. Because his father ignored Parikshit Maharaj. And, you know, he's the king, he's the emperor. Yogi should give him proper respect, and he didn't do that. So Parikshit Maharaj also, super soul, put him into illusion, put him into the state that he was upset by this. And then Sringi saw the dishonor to his Brahmin father. So Sringi cursed him. And then from that curse, Parikshit Maharaj, he didn't try to fight it. He didn't try to say, I can't. I'm going to overcome this curse. I'm going to get some other Brahmins. He could have done that, but he didn't. He didn't do that. He said, Krishna's calling. He said, Krishna is going to, you know, I'm going to leave my body in this set amount of time. And when you know that, it's the most valuable knowledge that you could have. Because now you know, I have to get serious about spiritual life, right? How many days did Parikshit Maharaj get? Does anybody remember? 7 days. I thought it was 7, but I started to think it was 10 or 14. No, it was 7 days. He got a week. And so the same concept is there for us. The lesson is there for us. We don't, except we're not fortunate enough to know how much longer we're going to live. So we all assume that it's going to be for a long time. And so we don't take this knowledge seriously enough. But we don't know. The next time we get on an airplane, the next time we cross the street, the next time we walk under a tree, the next time we're walking out in a field, driving in a car, you know, you can die at any moment from anything. You can be lying in bed and have a heart attack. Can be having dinner and have a stroke. You know, and this happens to people. We see it happening all around us all the time. And we think, no, it won't happen until I'm older. I'll be okay. I have plenty of time. When I get older, I'll get serious about Krishna. And then what happens? Boom, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years go by in a flash. It goes by and you look back and say, what happened? I was just a little kid. I was just in high school. I was just in college. I was just getting a job. I was just getting married. Then boom, suddenly so much time has gone by. And that's why Srila Prabhupada has required us to do our sadhana every day. We have to surrender every day. What we did yesterday doesn't count for today. You don't get a day off. You have to do this every day. You got to do your duty, right? You got to do your dharma every single day because it builds up. It builds up inside us. And if we have interruptions, it doesn't build up as well. I'm going to do a week on. I'm going to do a week off. What happens if you're a professional musician and you practice your horn every day for 3 hours, for 3 days straight? Wow, you're playing good. You go join your band. They're like, you're cooking it. You got it. But then you say, well, guys, I'm so good, I'm going to lay off for 3 days. I practice for 3 days, for 5 hours a day. I'm going to take 3 days off. Then he goes, joins the band, and he's blowing all these bad notes. What happened? You know, I took some time off. Dude, you can't take time off and sound good in a band. You have to practice every day. And I heard this example from His Holiness Keshav Bharti Goswami. And of course, he was a horn player before he became a devotee. He played trumpet. He was a jazz trumpeter. And he said, if I don't practice, this is when he played a lot. He knew this was knowledge he had before he was a devotee. If I don't practice one day, I can tell the difference the next day. He goes, if I don't practice 2 days, others can tell. Other musicians can tell. And if I don't practice 3 days, you can tell. Non-musicians can tell. So it's like that for us. And isn't it true? Don't we all know this is true? If we take time away from Krishna and we come back, we're dull, right? We're dull. We're like we're stupid again. We're like we forget it. It's like, oh, come on. You know, what the enlightenment, the realizations, the advancement that you felt, the wonderful thing you felt at the end of the day or during the day when you're doing your sadhana, you're reading, you're doing service, you got to do it again the next day. Otherwise, you know, it's still there. You still make advancement, but it's the best way to make proper and rapid advancement. And it's also the way that Srila Prabhupada gave us to be guaranteed to go back home, back to Godhead. To be guaranteed to be fearless at the moment of death is if you chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 16 rounds every day and you follow the regulative principles every day. If you do that, Prabhupada said, it is guaranteed you will go back home, back to Godhead. And this is Prabhupada's guarantee. And so if Prabhupada says this, then Krishna has to do it. Because Srila Prabhupada is Krishna's own pure devotee, right? He's Krishna's pure devotee. And it's even better than if Krishna says it. But Krishna says it in the Gita, and Prabhupada makes it clear. And so we get double guarantee. We hear it from Krishna, and it's reiterated by not just Prabhupada, but the whole guru parampara. All the acharyas up and down the line, they confirm for us this fact. And not only do they confirm it in what they say, but they prove it in how their lives are, in the bliss that they felt by pursuing Krishna consciousness. It's obvious that they were at high level of understanding of Krishna consciousness because they were feeling incredible ecstasy to read about Krishna's pastimes, to write down stories about Krishna. The Goswamis were empowered to write down and give us so much knowledge of the intimate understanding of Krishna bhakti. And in doing that, they were in complete ecstasy. And they were relishing this with each other. They didn't just hoard it and say, I've got it, I'm going to keep it. I'll write, it's all in my head, but I'm not going to tell anybody else. This is my secret. That's really the way a lot of people begin spiritual life, right? I want the knowledge of the absolute truth. And when I get it, I'll be very satisfied because I'll know everything. And then I'll be powerful and other people will come to me and ask me about knowledge. And then when you get it, you realize, oh, now I have this duty that comes with knowing everything. And we know everything, right? If you know Krishna, you know everything. And even a very neophyte devotee in the movement believes and understands Krishna is God. Well, that's it. If you want details, read the Bhagavatam, read Chaitanya Charitamrita. You get everything there is to know is explained. Everything. There's nothing else. Bhagavad Gita explains everything. Time, energies, spiritual, material, marginal, who we are, why we do things. Everything's explained. There's nothing else yet to be known. But now you have that knowledge and you say, well, but that's it. Okay. I just want this knowledge. I want to be on my own. Okay. You're a Mayavadi. You're a miser. You don't want to give this joyful knowledge to others. Because if you really have the knowledge, if you really understand who is Krishna, you're going to be pretty excited about it. And you spontaneously want to give Krishna to others because you're chanting and following and practicing. And it's so enlivening and so enjoyable that the Goswamis were this way. And so they would write these esoteric books for each other and for posterity and for future generations of devotees that began and really were chanting every day and following carefully the regulated principles. Then they become advanced and they can relish these books. If you're not practicing, you can't relish these books. And in fact, you're prohibited from reading them because you won't understand them properly. You'll consider them to be mundane. You'll see them in a mundane way and think that Krishna's pastime is just meeting with girls in the middle of the night. Instead of understanding the real nature of Krishna's relationship with the gopis, the gopas, his parents, his friends, his enemies, all of these are relationships that Krishna relishes, right? Rasa Raj. Krishna is Rasa Raj. He's the king of all rasas, of all tastes. He wants to taste all these relationships, all these tasty relationships and mellows. They're very, very tasty. Krishna relishes enjoying and tasting these different relationships with his eternal associates. This is the real life. This is real existence, not the material existence that we're under now. And thank goodness for that, because if it was, you know, what use is there going on? There's not. It's a horrible material world. It's horrible. It's temporary. People are suffering. Why? Is it all for nothing? No, of course not. It's so we'll turn towards the Lord and say, there must be something better. Isn't there, Lord? And the Lord said, yeah, there is, actually. So why don't you read this book? Read Bhagavad Gita. Read Srimad Bhagavatam. Listen to the lectures of Srila Prabhupada. Listen to the lectures of the gurus, of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada. And understand, hey, there really is, you really can be fearless. You really can understand that this mirage of a world that we live in, this illusory energy that we're under right now, we can understand that, yeah, this is actually temporary and not our real nature, not what's real. What's real is spirit. What's material is temporary. So let's remember to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. You can come in, it's no problem. Come closer, see the deities. So, any comments or questions? Thank you for listening. Thanks for being here. We really appreciate it. No effort, not even the tiniest effort that's expended for Krishna is in vain. Krishna sees everything, and Krishna knows your heart. And remember, whatever tiny little thing you try to do for him purifies your heart, and Krishna sees it, and he loves you for it. So please keep on trying. Keep on trying. Come to the temple. Do service. Chant. Read. And become Krishna conscious. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.